What's going on, everybody? Thanks for sticking with us here on the Rational Revolution. I have my friend Hua Yutek, and we're talking about trauma and things that people can experience in relationships. And we talked about the fact that 48% of women and 48% of men report being in having emotional abusive situations. And so that is a statistic that my friend Hua and I unfortunately share. And I'm going to talk about something I've never really discussed publicly because it brings me to a dark place that I don't want to go. But hey, you know, this show is about healing, and maybe this is part of my journey too. There's maybe 10 people that on this earth that know this. Hua is one of them, and I'm very grateful that you shared that part. You know, my story that I have, and again, this is just experience that I had. The relationship that I had, it started off normal. It was not, it was fine. But then as the relationship went along, there was things, and it's not big things and things that I remember, but what I do remember, it was a comment here or there, and it takes you back and like, oh, wow, that was actually really hurtful. Like, okay, she's having a bad day, whatever. But then it quickly would spiral itself into something that I never thought I would let myself get into. And it's hard not to be disappointed with myself that I let myself be defined so intimately by someone else in that type of regard. You know, and we ended up getting married. We had a child. We bought a house. All these things because it would make it better, and it didn't. And I'm not going to get into specifics, but it was basically, you know, every day I felt inadequate. I felt a failure. I'll wait till people find out about the real Mark Becker. You know, it was hurtful. Terrible husband, father, partner. Career was terrible. It was hard. I tried really, really hard, but nothing I did was ever good enough, and that's a really bad feeling. And I don't blame the person. You know, because the way she grew up, her she saw this behavior from her mom, who, and not to mince words, but she's the worst person I've ever met in my life because she treats people like they're pests, you know, friends, family. It's horrific. And, you know, and she's worse to her husband. Maybe it's changed since I left their family, and I hope it has, but she grew up thinking this is normal, and, you know, it's absolutely not. But there were really two instances that defined my journey. We were on like the deck of a cruise ship in the middle of paradise, and we're mini golfing, and something happened, and it just blew up into this big thing. And I felt the sinking feeling, no pun intended on a cruise ship, but the sinking feeling of like, it's not going to get better, and I can't take this anymore. And so there was a couple of weeks later, she was on a trip with her mom, and she was going to get back on the Sunday or Monday morning. I don't know what it was. And so I'm allergic to peanuts, and I bought a Snickers bar because I was going to solve the problem. If I don't have an EpiPen and I eat a peanut, I die. And so the night before, I was going to do it. And, you know, and then she would come home, and our son is in the crib, so he's safe. I am no longer in the picture. And that would be that. And so that night I went into his room and I picked him up from the crib. It was about an hour before sunrise, because that's when I was going to do it. And I hugged him. And I told him it wasn't his fault. I apologized. And I wished for him a better life than what I could give. And I set him down. I gave him a kiss. And I sat on the chair in his room just wishing that the sun would not come up. But what happened was he woke up and he reached to me, and I felt this wave over me that was frustration and sadness and guilt, but it was hope. And that night, I went from a victim to a fighter. He saved my life just by waking up. One day, I'll thank him for that. And so that night, it was not how did this happen to me. It's what can I do to get out of it? And so later that week, I had a work trip, and I was supposed to go to the Dells to do this 3-day retreat, talking about really exciting stuff like gap insurance and red flags laws and stuff. And so on the drive to the Dells, I was thinking, you know, what do I do? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. She told me, you know, if you ever cheat on me, we're done. And it was like an idea from a bad Seinfeld episode. I'll just tell her I cheated. I never did, but I'm going to tell her I did. And that's how we get out of it. And so we're sitting in a table at a conference room and with 40 other people talking about exciting things like gap insurance and red flags law. And here I am texting my ex, telling her that I cheated. I never did, but I knew that was going to get me out. And I sent the message, and I felt this sense of relief, like, oh my God, I'm done. And it was quickly replaced by terror, because she responded back, who was it? We can fix this. You know, like, oh my God. And she got my parents involved and my friends. And this still hurts today. She got my biggest mentor that I ever had in my life involved. And his name was Michael. He was a giant in my life. He was like a second father. I think about him just about every day. And he, you know, when I got back from the retreat, we had lunch, and he's like, hey, you can fix this. You can do this. You're going to be fine. We can get through this. And I couldn't tell him. And I wanted to tell him so bad. Like, you don't understand. Like, this is life and death. I have to get out. I can't do this. I have to get out. And that was the last time I spoke with him, because we did end up getting divorced, and he's not in my life. Maybe, I hope he listens to this show. Maybe he will. But the only person, excuse me, that I told was my mom. And we sat down and talked about what was happening. And she was like, Harriet Tubman. You know, I told her, and she grabbed my hand and said, it's not your fault. And she sang me a song from Mr. Rogers about loving me for who I am. And she got to work and she said, okay, well, let's get you safe. She was my Harriet Tubman. And I got safe. I got out. It was the most difficult thing that I've ever went through in my life. I've never told this story before. I probably couldn't get through it. I didn't get through it now. But there is hope. There is another side. And there is light. And there's so many people that are going through these things. And they shouldn't. Nobody deserves that. Nobody. And, you know, there were ramifications to this all, you know, where Hua and I kind of bonded was a lot of the legal stuff that was difficult. In my case, you know, I had a judge that really, I had no idea what my rights were. It was life and death. I needed to get out. And so I settled for things that I shouldn't have settled for. And honestly, it's thanks to my wife that she gave me the courage and the support and the push to fight for better things, like a custody agreement, to be able to see my son more than one day a week. It took 7 years to get that done. 7 years. And it's hard because I look at the child that my wife and I have, who's now at that age where I missed this time with my oldest son. And it's such a hard thing, because I know that those are years I'll never get back. And, but it was so difficult, and there's still manipulation a little bit on on that side, there was a time where, you know, it was told to him from their side of, hey, you know, was his grandpa said, do you want to know a secret? The reason why your mom and your dad got divorced was because of your dad's wife. And that's not true. And some of those things that happened still happen. You know, you talk about gaslighting and you talk about abuse, and it's sad to see, because while she and they can't control me necessarily, they still do that through him. And it's hard and it's not fair. And yeah, I mean, if you're going through that out there, you don't need to, and you shouldn't. And yeah, I thank all of you for listening to my rant. But I only say this because it's such a taboo thing that, you know, men can go through what I went through, or it's not something that's talked about, but it's something that clearly happens all too often. And it's almost like you wish it was physical, because then there's something you can explain.
Right. Yeah. People just understand physical violence, and it's hard to explain when you're under this sense of control and manipulation.
And it all of a sudden you look back on that time and it's like, oh my God, how, you know, and like, man, I was a chairman of a political organization. I had a good career. We had a house in the suburbs. I was nothing.
Right.
You know, and like, it's interesting. I asked my wife about this, because I'm remarried and she's incredible. And I ask her, you know, and I know that I suffer from stuff where, you know, she'll just be genuinely nice to me. It's like, why, what's going on here? And I asked her, I was like, is the PTSD, is that still there? She, like, without hesitation, oh yeah, oh yeah. And so, you know, just the fact that.
It's great that you have that awareness.
Yeah. But it's something like to be able to accept the fact that you can be loved.
Right.
Is something.
Right.
You know? And for her to say, I love you. No, even with all of that.
Right.
Like, holy crap.
I think it's so important to even, you know, with what you shared, is how you start to doubt yourself.
Oh my God.
So many victim survivors are made to believe that they are the abusive ones.
Yeah.
And then you question yourself and you question if you are the problem.
Yeah. Right. And it, you know, it's, yeah, you know, and I don't know how long it takes to get over things, if at all.
And
or do you just understand it? You know,
when you look at covert abuse, I really feel like it is the most harmful form of abuse, because it actually changes your brain chemistry. It changes your, you know, like, how your body responds to life. Mm. And that's something that needs to be talked about more.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's, yeah, it's something that, you know, I think with Mental Awareness Month, like, that's good, but you look at resources, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. You look at resources, they're not, it's not there, yeah. You know? And so here on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about a book that can help, and we're going to talk about healing and what to do. God forbid you're in this situation. We'll be right back on The Rational Revolution. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way into New Orleans.